All right, Thursday afternoon. We are almost to the weekend. That's good news. So you heard we got a chance of rain today, and then we just heard Peyton Malone talk about the chance of rain over the weekend because of that schizophrenic storm down in the Gulf. Again, just amazing that we're talking about a hurricane November the 7th. But, you know, this is not the only sign of the end of the world being near. So there are reports that it looks like it's going to go to the west and head into Texas. But then there are some other steering currents that might head it up in our direction. But whoever gets hit by this storm is just going to get hit by some rain and a little wind. So that is the good news. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. We have a lot to talk about this afternoon. And still the aftermath of the election is setting in. And it's over. I'm glad it was decisive. And as I said yesterday, congratulations to Donald Trump. America has spoken. I accept the results of this election. And we move forward. Donald Trump is going to be back in the White House. Many Americans are really excited. But many Americans are in a dark place right now. And they just can't perceive the future of America being positive. So we're going to talk about that today. How are you feeling? Are you in a dark place right now? I mean, I've gotten some messages from people who, you know, are just really depressed. They're in a very, very dark place. And then Trump supporters are just thrilled. There are those Trump voters who are happy that Trump won. They're not necessarily thrilled because they weren't crazy about voting for Trump, but they voted for him because, like many elections, he was the best choice that they felt like they had. So if you're concerned, if you're worried, we'll talk about this today. What most worries you about a Trump presidency? What most worries you about this? He's been president before, and he lost in 2020, so he wins again. And this was a convincing win. You know, as I mentioned yesterday, and you know this because you've heard it, but Donald Trump was the first president, the first Republican to win the popular vote since George W. Bush in 2004. So that was a big, big accomplishment. And Trump, even though he won the Electoral College in 2016, it bothered him that he didn't win the popular vote. Because Donald Trump is one of those people, and you and I know these people in our personal lives. They don't understand why everybody doesn't love them. They don't have a comprehension of that. But the truth is, not everybody likes everybody. And we talk about that often, and, you know, that's okay. Not everybody likes everybody. So we'll talk about this today, but think about how you're feeling. And if you're a Trump supporter, and if you are celebrating, if you are just exuberant, if you're elated right now that Trump won, because you feel like you're saving this country, with Trump as president, you're saving this country from being a socialist nation, what do you want to say to those people who right now are in a very dark place? And we'll talk about this. The Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. You know, we can also start talking about this big weekend in sports. You know, the Saints have a new interim coach. The Saints play the Falcons in the Caesars Superdome on Sunday. A huge matchup for the Saints. Because even in those years when the Saints sucked, and this is one of those years, you know, beating the Falcons was important. So this game Sunday is an important game for a lot of Saints fans. And also, this is the weekend of LSU-Alabama at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. And when it comes to college football, it doesn't get any better than that. And I know Alabama fans are going to argue with this, but I believe that LSU-Alabama at Tiger Stadium is a bigger social and sporting event than Alabama at home in Tuscaloosa. I mean, as big as that is, LSU-Alabama at home in Tuscaloosa, I know how big that is. But I think LSU-Alabama at Tiger Stadium is even bigger. All right, before we go any further, I want to thank Jim Hudson. I want to thank Jason Smith. I want to thank everybody with Bonvenue Bank. This was the new branch, grand opening of the new branch yesterday. We were there live. And ribbon-cutting ceremony, Cynthia Lee Shang was there. I had a chance to say hi to her. Jennifer Van Vranken was there from the Jefferson Parish Council. And I talked to her about me posting that picture of her in that very, very tight Trump dress. And she went on Facebook and read some of the comments, and she just thought it was great. She was happy that I posted that. So I'm glad she wasn't upset. And as I said when I posted it, I mean, she's on a public stage at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. It's not like I snuck a picture of her and she was like in some private setting. So, you know, she was in public. So I thought it was okay to post the picture, and she was fine with it. So we had a great conversation. But I want to thank Jim Hudson and Jason Smith and really everybody involved in Bonvenu Bank. This used to be a Citizens National Bank, and there was a location in Metairie on the North Shore and in Baton Rouge. Well, now it's changed to Bonvenu Bank, and they just have a whole new attitude with banking. And, you know, I have experience with banks in this area. And sometimes a fresh new start for a bank is just what you need as a consumer. Because some banks have been around so long, they get old and stodgy in their ways. And their attitudes are old and stodgy. And they might not be giving you the best service. So, you know, if you even think, and you might want to just go stop by one of the branches. And now the new branch is in Gretna, 2000 Belchase Highway, you might want to go talk to the people at Bonvenu Bank. And if you're a small business, or if you have an idea for a business or a company and you need a loan, you know, you might want to talk to Bonvenu Bank, because when banks do this kind of changing, they're really open to new customers and new people, and you might get better treatment if you're a business, if you have an idea for a business, or if you're just a consumer. You just have a checking account and maybe a savings account. Bonvenu Bank might really be the best bank that's going to give you the absolute best service, because there is a new innovative attitude at Bonvenu Bank. So anyway, I want to thank all of them for having us out. It was a great afternoon. Ian Hoke is our senior producer. He is at the controls in the studio this afternoon. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you too as well. How are you over there?
I'm good. So, you know, the outcome of the election is still sinking in with people. And I got a text last night from a family member, and she is just so down and depressed. She's in a really dark place following the election. And so it made me realize that, you know, like with every election, one group is really happy. And because of the rhetoric, because of the intensity of this particular campaign season, I think those people who are happy are happier than people have been in the past that Trump won. And I think those people who are disappointed are even more disappointed and even depressed over the outcome. One side is really concerned about the future. One side is really happy about the future. But the side that's even happy about the future, I warn you that there could be some things that Donald Trump brings to life and implements as president that as an American citizen, you might not like these things, even if you're a Trump supporter. So, you know, it is going to be our job from 1 to 4 in the afternoon to follow the Trump administration. It was the original role of the media to hold politicians accountable. And so that's what we will do. I'm not going to look for ways to criticize Trump. And I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. You know, let's see what happens when he takes office. But we'll be here to hold him accountable to some of the things that he promised during the campaign. And we'll be here to talk about him. If Kamala Harris won, we would have done the same thing with her.
It is certainly true. There's a lot of people that are very, very up. They're very celebratory, feeling really good about themselves and their prospects. And they should enjoy that as long as it lasts. I don't wish the opposite of that for anybody. If you feel great in any way that you can feel joy in this little world, you should do it. We'll grant you that. But there are also, you know, just from what we know on this show, there were a lot of reluctant Trump voters.
Yeah.
That weren't that thrilled about it, but they just couldn't bring themselves to either not vote or to vote for Kamala Harris. And so they're maybe not celebrating, but they have a sort of sense of relief, which is also okay. I also extend grace to you. I hope that lasts. And to your point about, you know, what's going to happen when he takes office, we'll do what we did last time. We'll tell the truth. We'll give you an alternative perspective that you probably can't get elsewhere on talk radio. And we'll try and do that in a graceful, truthful way that's you know, based in honesty and transparency and not just partisan snipery. And you know, if the first 2 years of the Trump term this time around or anything like the first 2 years last, it's going to be a little bit wild. I mean, if he gets in there and starts committing crimes and uplifting Russian spies and doing things like that, then we will have to talk about that. We won't relish that. We're not looking forward to that, but that's our job. That's our mission.
I got an email. Let me find this email. I printed it out. I got an email from a woman who is just a diehard Trump supporter, and she just loves to bash me. Her name is Lucy Gucci. Maybe that's her real name. I don't know. Lucy Gucci sends me emails once in a while. And Lucy Gucci says, she sends me this email. It says, "Scoot, everyone knows you're so upset about Trump winning. I understand that you're trying to camouflage it, but we all know how upset you are. It is hurting you so bad inside." See, that's not true, because it should be, it is hurting you so badly inside. Anyway, far from me to be one to correct. She goes on to say, "What will you talk about now? Will you look at every single possible flaw from him now? How WWL keeps you employed is beyond me." Well, this show is a tremendous success. This show is a big success for WWL. And as we have said, we consistently beat our conservative competition in the afternoon, Sean Hannity. So, you know, just because you disagree with me, obviously you're listening. So we appreciate that. And then there's a whole new group of people that love the idea that this is not right-wing conservative radio, because that's everywhere. I mean, you can find that everywhere in this country. And so, you know, we provide something different. There was an article. I'm very flattered by this. There is a news service called Barrett News, Barrett Media, I think it is. And I didn't see this, but Ian sent me this the other day about an article that they ran about me and this show, and about a talk show host on conservative radio telling the truth, and maybe have a hard time, you know, being understood when we tell the truth. So I thought that was really cool that they wrote that that article. I thought, you know, let's post that. Would you post that on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page?
Sure.
Okay, we're going to post that on the Facebook page. And I mean, it's a national article with this national service that went out to radio stations and talk show hosts around the country. So I thought that was a tremendous compliment to the show. Let's do a couple of texts before we get to our first break.
Here's a text message that says, "This is a very good day for Louisiana. Trump can help advance Governor Landry's agenda, and Governor Landry can help advance Trump's agenda, and Speaker Mike Johnson can help them both. Louisiana's in a great spot. The outlook for Louisiana is good. Louisiana is in a position to thrive."
You know, let's hope so, because in a lot of ways we're dragging ass. You know, in a lot of ways this is not any kind of progressive state. And I say progressive state in the original definition of progressive, which means to move forward, not progressive in a political sense. But we've not been a very progressive state. So, you know, I hope this person's right. And by the way, Donald Trump is the president of the United States. I personally and professionally, as a talk show host, I want him to succeed. I want him to be a good president. Because if he's a bad president, and if he sucks, how is that good for America? So I don't care who's president. I want them. And in this case, I want Donald Trump to be a really good, successful president, because that's good for America. And I'm an American.
Here's a text that says, "I'm in a very, very bright place as of yesterday morning, because I know that our country is going to be heading in a better direction, and the southern border is finally going to get the attention that it needs."
Well, look, no doubt, and we've talked about this endlessly, even during the campaign, the Biden administration handed Donald Trump and the Republicans the ultimate campaign issue, the border. Because they failed at the border. And if they did anything, they didn't let us know about it. So they handed them a really great campaign issue, because the border was accentuated by anybody that would do anything wrong, that would rape or kill an American citizen. It was exaggerated because of so many people coming across the border illegally. You know, the Biden administration absolutely failed in this way. And that really benefited Trump and the Republicans.
In not Biden's defense, but Democrats generally, the bipartisan border security bill that Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma wrote, he's one of the most conservative senators, that was his bill. And yeah. Democrats got on board with that bill. If James Lankford had written that bill 1 or 2 years earlier, maybe it would have passed. We'll never know. But that you can't say right. The Democrats did nothing, goose egg. But the one thing that they did was sign on to the most conservative bipartisan border legislation we've ever seen and will probably ever see.
I guess I'm talking about anything that Biden might have done as president independent of Congress. You know, there's a lot of talk about what a president might be able to do and what Trump might be able to do without Congress. I think Joe Biden may have failed in that area. And if there was nothing he could do, he failed in telling us that there was nothing he could do.
Yeah. To the texter's point about the country heading in a better direction, I mean, when the amount of Americans, you know, that are responding now in exit polls and stuff and say, you know, three quarters of the electorate says the country's heading in a wrong direction. That's tough sledding, brothers and sisters. If you're the incumbent president or if you're attached to the incumbent president, that is a very difficult thing to overcome. And maybe we'll see those numbers turn around. Time will tell. Here's a text that says both of those candidates were terrible options. But if we survived 4 years with a guy like Biden, then we'll survive the next 4 years, too.
Yeah, I agree. And I said this leading up to the election, as controversial as this is, as definitive as people are on both sides, like if you don't vote for the candidate I'm for, this country's ruined. Or if you don't vote for this other candidate, the country's ruined. We are going to get through this as a country. As Americans, we are going to get through this. So, you know, don't be too depressed about this.
I'll give you two more. Here's one that says, I have LGBTQ friends who are terrified of what is coming under Trump and Project 2025. They fear for the loss of their rights and for their very safety. Some are wondering if they need to move to another state or even another country. It's not about policies. It's about a literal fear. And it's a damn shame. And it's so wrong.
Well, I know that I'm going to, and I think that as Americans, we should stand up for the rights of others. In fact, by the way, the first trans person has been elected to Congress. You know, we'll be talking about that. A trans person was elected to Congress, so we'll tell you about that.
I'll leave you with this one. Oh, but before I do, let me mention the AM 870 transmitter is on reduced power today while they're working Suthram issues. So if you're listening on 870 and it's staticky or it's quiet, you may enjoy jumping over to the FM signal if you can. Or you can just listen on the Odyssey app. Great, great reason to do that.
And or we could just talk louder.
Welcome back to the Scoot Show. We appreciate you listening. I'll leave you with this text. This says, Hurricane Rafael, as soon as Trump was elected, Rafael turned towards Mexico because he knew not to come up here.
Yeah, or, you know, I guess the Democrats thought, well, what the hell, you know, we'll just send it over to Texas.
Yeah, maybe they could use some rain in Puerto Vallarta over there.
All right, so how are you feeling today? I mean, you know, yesterday was the day that it was all over. How are you feeling, you know, one day after the election? If you're positive, why are you so positive? And what do you tell people who are negative? And if you're negative, are you in a dark place? And what concerns you most about another Trump presidency? The Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. So, breaking news on Channel 4 at noon today. Some guy committed at least 8 robberies or attempted robberies in the French Quarter and the Marigny yesterday. And at one point, the guy walked up to people who were at a hotel in the Marigny, and these people were outside dining or having a drink, and he goes up to them and he demands money. And the guy goes, no. And so he starts to apparently show what looks like the barrel of a gun. He says, do you know what this is? He says, yeah, or something like that. And the guy was demanding money from these people, and the guy said, no, you'll have to shoot me. The thief walked off. Now, I don't suggest that you do this if you're confronted, but sometimes in these situations, these people are cowards. All they want to do is bully you into thinking that they're going to shoot you or beat you up or something if you don't give them money. Excuse me. And again, you know, I'm not telling you what to do, but you can assess the situation that you're in at the time. And this was a case where a guy just called the guy's bluff and the guy walked off. But the guy is still out there. 8 robberies or attempted robberies in the French Quarter and in the Marigny. And he's out there. Police are looking for him. And hopefully they find him by the end of the day because that guy needs to be off the street. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. A change is going to come. January, Donald Trump becomes president again. We're talking about this today because it's still just setting in what has happened. There are celebrations. There are concerns. I wrote a blog about this. It's posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page where you can comment on it. And I hope you'll join us on Scoot on the Air Facebook on a regular basis and become a poster and somebody who comments on the comments. We'll get to that a little bit later, but we'll get to some of your comments a little bit later. Yeah, a lot of concerns and a lot of people really happy. So how are you feeling today? If you love Trump, if you're so excited about this victory, if you're celebrating that Trump won, what do you say to those people who are worried? And if you're really worried and in a dark place, what most concerns you about a Trump presidency? The Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text Line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. And from Baton Rouge, John, you're on WWL.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, well, I think unless you're an incredibly wealthy person, this is going to be very bad for most Americans, including most of the people who voted for Donald Trump. And my concern comes from what he said he's going to do, what his supporters have said they're going to do, and none of it's good for ordinary Americans. And one of the things that's so depressing about it is that those people voted for him because they weren't paying attention, they're uninformed, they're misinformed. So I think it's going to be very bad. And it's easy to feel that, you know, if you voted for Trump, you deserve what he and the Republicans are going to do to you. You deserve to lose your health care. You deserve to lose Social Security. But unfortunately, the rest of us are going to get what they deserve. We're all going to get it. And John, there's nothing to feel good about that.
Health care and Social Security, you think these are some of the main concerns that you have about Trump presidency?
Oh, of course. They've told us this, and it's amazing how many people don't know it or won't believe it. There's no surprises. They told us exactly what they're going to do. Mike Johnson has told us he plans to go after the Affordable Care Act because it's so bad that it needs to be, quote, reformed, unquote. Well, you know what? There's 1.5 million people in Louisiana who are on Medicaid and the Child Health Insurance Program because of the Affordable Care Act. You don't hear Mike Johnson talking about them. He's not concerned about them. He hates this law, and he wants to do away with it. So we should all be concerned, and we'll see what happens. But I don't see any sign of anything good for ordinary people coming out of this.
You know, John, what's interesting is the Republicans have complained about the they named it Obamacare, and then they didn't like that because it was working, and so they didn't want Obama to get credit for it. So, you know, it became known more widely as the Affordable Care Act. They stopped calling it Obamacare in a lot of ways, but it seems like they don't have a plan to replace it. They love to bash it, but what are they going to do to replace it?
They never have had one, and they won't have one because that's not their goal. They don't like the fact that it helps people who they think don't deserve to be helped. And they had a chance in 2017, and a lot of Americans weren't paying attention to that either because it would have passed and it would have taken away most of the Affordable Care Act, including the Medicaid expansion. And guess what happened a few years later? Here comes COVID. What would have happened if we didn't have the Medicaid expansion when COVID hit us? But people, you know, the Democrats have done a terrible job of explaining these things.
Yep.
And, you know, in that final vote in the Senate, 3 brave Republicans, finally John McCain, voted to stop them from taking that away. But every single Democrat voted to save that bill. And the public doesn't appreciate it. So,
hey John, think of all the...
It's easy to feel like they're going to get what they deserve. They're going to get what they asked for, and it's what they deserve. But,
think of all the Trump supporters who have benefited from the idea that you can have a pre-existing condition.
Right. That helps everybody, even the Republicans. We've all benefited from that. But the thing about the Affordable Care Act that the Democrats also didn't explain well is that it was constructed to work, and each part fits together. It didn't add to the deficit. It paid for itself. You start yanking out the parts, unless you really know what you're doing, and the Republicans don't, it's all going to collapse. So the only reason that you can, you know, have things like those protections is because they constructed the bill that way. And you can't just, like, pull out the parts you don't like and say, oh, but we still have protection for pre-existing conditions. It doesn't work like that.
And I totally agree with you, John, that those who think that, you know, this is just something that needs to just go away, they're wrong. And a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans, a lot of Trump supporters are going to be impacted by this. But we'll see what happens, because they've talked about this before and they didn't get rid of it because it's more rhetoric, because they don't have a plan to replace it. If it's so bad, all these years the Republicans have been bitching about the Affordable Care Act, why haven't they collectively come together and come up with a plan? Are they not smart enough to? No, it's a really complicated thing, and they don't even want to get involved in it, in my opinion. We'll see what happens. By the way, the Kremlin is saying that Donald Trump claiming that he can end the war in Ukraine overnight is an over-exaggeration. Wow. Surprised? I'm not. All right, if you have a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So a lot of people are celebrating, but a lot of people are in a really dark place. Why are you concerned about another Trump administration, and why are you celebrating? I'm Scoot. We're coming back with more of your comments on WWL. Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. Thursday afternoon, we're coming right back on WWL. All right, the election's over. We got to move along. I accept the results of America speaking, and we now move along. During a CNN town hall, May 2023, Donald Trump said that he will end the war in Ukraine one day after being elected. So if the war is not over one day, well, Donald Trump was elected. The war's still going on. So we'll say one day after being inaugurated. So we'll wait till he's inaugurated, and we'll wait one day and see if the war's over. The Kremlin is already saying, no, he's not going to end the war in one day. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Frankie in Picayune. Hey, Frankie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoop, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, how you doing, my brother?
I'm good.
All right. I ain't going to say I'm in a dark place, but I am kind of worried.
See, well, I'm concerned.
What John said earlier about all these programs going to get touched, like health care, Social Security, and then with Trump saying he's going to do this tariff thing, which is going to cost the economy or cost us as Americans more money to pay on. And not just that, but that Project 2025 with the education thing and all this. See, everybody's so concentrated on him fixing the border, they're not thinking about when, all right, the economy is pretty good right now. Given, like when Obama handed him the economy, it lasted for a while until he put his little stuff in it, then it started tearing up. Now, the same thing with the economy now. It's doing all right. Maybe a year into his office, it'll still hold on. But once the terrorists and everything start hitting, and he started affecting the Social Security, and I hate to say it, Janice, I hope you're not on Social Security, but when you see benefits start going down to where you can't pay your bills or anything, when you depended on that, then you're going to realize that just concentrating on the border was not the right way to go about this election. Not saying that Kamala Harris should have made it. I wish she had him, because I think we would have had a little better, economy. It would have kept on going strong. But for everything that Trump is planning to do, especially with that Project 2025 and these tariffs, in about 2 or 3 more years, we're going to feel the effects of it.
Especially A lot of Americans, Frankie, I'm glad you called. If Donald Trump does put, say, you know, 100% tariffs on foreign goods, what does that do to all the people who work at car dealerships that sell imports? What does that do to the price of the import that you want to buy? I'm glad I bought my car from another country about 2 months ago. I'm glad I did that now, because when those tariffs set in, that's going to all change. Let's go to Julie in Metairie. Julie, welcome to WWL.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me? It sounds like I got a bad connection.
I can hear you well. You can't hear me too well?
Okay, no, I can hear you now. I'm standing in a different place. I'm happy. I mean, I'm just answering the question. I feel good. I think, well, it was shown most of America feels good or is happy the way they voted. I just think they just need to see what happens in 4 years.
Yeah.
I think we can only get better. I don't know what Frankie was talking about because the American people are not, the economy is not good. A lot of people are feeling it. And hopefully it all gets better.
Yeah.
Hopefully the border gets closed. Hopefully, like Trump said, he can unite. And evidently he is uniting some people because many independents and many Democrats voted for him. As far
I mean, many will admit they had voted for him reluctantly, but he still won fair election. I mean, he still got their votes.
And I think that if Kamala would have ran a campaign instead of just in the Democrats bashing Trump all the time, and maybe it wouldn't have worked because what she stands for, everybody knew. I know you say she was vice president, they don't do anything, but she was in California, and we saw what she did and what she stood for.
Well, and Julie, you know, I said many times before she was even in this position, I said many times when people talked about her running for president, I said she's way too progressive to win the presidency. And then she switches toward moderate stances. And then you worry about credibility there. I mean, she ran a bad campaign.
And I also think California is seeing stuff because they approved that she didn't want to talk about Proposition 36 that she had her hands in. And I think they're starting to see the light also. So I think, you know, if the ones that are feeling bad, well, they can just, you know, we felt bad for 4 years. So
hopefully
it gets better for everybody.
Right. Before I have to go to a break here, what would you tell those people who are just in a really dark place right now? What would you tell them?
Well, I mean, hopefully, you know, they'll get up in the morning and just go about their regular routine like we all did the last 4 years, and hopefully I'm hoping that it will get better for them. I'm hoping that they can put aside how Trump talks. I always say to myself, I'm not having dinner with him. I don't have to go visit him. I don't even have to see him every day. But as long as he's doing what's right for America and get us back where we're strong again, and I think, you know, then it'll be okay. And if that happens, you know, put aside what you think about him as, a personal person. Look at his policies. I mean, and hopefully it'll work out. I mean, we've already been through this 4 years, and we've already had him, and I don't think it was real bad when he was in office. I mean, you know, so hopefully it'll be better for the next 4 years, and hopefully if they can just, you know, just have faith in God that everything's going to be okay. I really think, to me, you know, God saved him 2 bullets, you know. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see some.
All right. I'm glad you had a chance to call the show. If you're on hold, hang on. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. But, you know, after the election, a lot of people are in a very dark, dark place. And we're talking about that this afternoon. I'm Scoot, and we're coming back with more comments now and into the next hour on WWL. This was one of the songs that provided clues that Paul McCartney was dead. And as a young teenager, I remember following this every night. There was a new clue on the radio that indicated that Paul McCartney was dead and that he was replaced by a substitute. Well, on this day in 1969, Life magazine tracked down Paul McCartney and his wife Linda on the farm in Scotland. And they brought to an end the rumors that Paul was dead. The headline read, "Paul is still with us." And interestingly, this was 1969. Paul McCartney said in that article, "The Beatle thing is over. And although the band hasn't announced that they are going to split up," he said, "we have been indeed fractured." And he kind of announced that the band was over. It really didn't happen until a year later. But Paul McCartney went to Scotland to escape all of the turmoil about his rumors and the Beatle breakup and everything. But yeah, by this time, the Beatles had decided that it was over. But this is the day we discovered that Paul wasn't dead, which was good news. We're going to continue our conversation in the aftermath of the election. Are you in a dark place? What concerns you about another Trump presidency? And if you're celebrating, why are you so excited? I'm Scoot, and we'll be back. It is a Thursday afternoon, so we are almost to the weekend. It is partly cloudy here at West End, and you just heard in our forecast, chances of some scattered showers around, and that crazy storm Raphael hanging out in the Gulf looks like it's not going to head in this direction. Some people believe that the Democrats decided, well, what the hell, we'll just send it over toward Texas and Mexico. Those who believe the Democrats are controlling storms. I'm Scoot on the air. I don't believe that, by the way. You know, we're still continuing to talk about the results of the election because, you know, by every means, this was an extraordinary campaign season with just such intense rhetoric on both sides. But I would say particularly from Donald Trump. I mean, the rhetoric was just, it was deep, very deep. For example, Donald Trump did say that he would end the war in Ukraine after day one, one day after he's elected. Well, I think he probably meant one day after he's inaugurated because, you know, here we are 2 days after he was elected and he doesn't have any power yet. So one day after he's elected. But the Kremlin is already saying, no, that's not going to happen. Donald Trump is not going to end the war. Although, you know, I don't know. Maybe he and Elon Musk make a couple of phone calls to Vladimir Putin and maybe they work something out so they start to get things in place. So it is possible. It is possible. And this would be a good thing because the war would end. So if he can end the war in one day, man, that would be great. But what if they're making plans now to have it to where the war ends the day after he takes office? If Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin do have this relationship, and Elon Musk talks to Vladimir Putin apparently on a regular basis, if they all get together, they could plan for that to possibly happen. So I'm not going to rule out that possibility. Some of you will remember this. The hostages that were held by Iran, the American hostages were held by Iran. I forget the exact timeline, but they were released the day Ronald Reagan either won the election or was inaugurated. I'm not sure which. But the timing, so in other words, Reagan's people were working behind the scenes with the Iranians. So the Iranians were released the day that Reagan became president. And people were just stunned. So don't think these things don't happen, because they do. And who knows? It could happen. All right. I'm glad you're with us on this the Thursday afternoon. We have a lot to talk about. The Democrats are beginning the soul-searching process of figuring out, well, what happened. And some of them seem to think they know who's to blame for the blowout loss by Kamala Harris.
President Biden has made his first public remark since Donald Trump's election, as some of Kamala Harris's backers blame the president for her loss. Some Harris allies believe the president cost Democrats the White House by waiting so long to leave the race, leading to the man he beat 4 years ago preparing for a return to office.
We accept the choice the country made.
In the Rose Garden, the president praised Harris's campaign, but did not directly address the public's seeming repudiation of his presidency. Instead, he noted his administration's accomplishments, ones he says will benefit the nation for years to come.
It's been an historic presidency.
And while he notes many are struggling with the race's outcome, democracy worked its will, and the nation will prevail.
We're going to be okay.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
That's what he likes to say. We're going to be okay. All right, okay. We're okay, right? All right, data is starting to come together showing how Donald Trump won his second term in the White House.
Donald Trump won the election by holding on to his core base of voters and adding a few more, including some who have traditionally been part of the Democratic base. That finding comes from AP VoteCast, a survey of more than 120,000 voters nationwide. Donald Trump picked up a small but significant share of black and Hispanic voters and made narrow gains with men and women. But Kamala Harris wasn't able to make enough of her own gains. Donald Trump about doubled his share of young black men. About 3 in 10 black men under the age of 45 voted for him. Nationally, about 8 in 10 black voters supported Kamala Harris. She won more than half of Hispanic voters, though they were more open to Donald Trump than they were in 2020. Among women voters, Kamala Harris had the advantage, winning 53% to Donald Trump's 46%. I'm Rita Foley.
Now, yesterday somebody called the show and said, you see, Trump's base was big enough to elect him. No, Trump's base wasn't big enough and isn't big enough to elect him. There are just not enough numbers there. Trump needed other people beyond his base to elect him to office. And you just heard the report clarifying that, yes, the data shows that Trump did reach beyond his base because that's how he won the election. The Department of Justice sees the writing on the wall now, and they're starting to wind down their criminal investigations of Donald Trump.
Special Counsel Jack Smith is evaluating how to wind down the two federal criminal cases against Donald Trump before he takes office in January. We're hearing that from a person familiar with Smith's thinking. Now, this is a result of a longstanding Justice Department policy that says sitting presidents cannot be prosecuted. And we're told that Smith intends to comply with that policy and move to end both of the cases before Trump is inaugurated in January.
All right. European leaders are not waiting around for American politics to stabilize. They're striking out on their own.
French President Emmanuel Macron has said that Europe should not remain static in the face of China and the U.S. and urged his counterparts to take action to ensure that Europe becomes a fully independent power. Speaking at a European political community summit in Budapest, Macron said the world was made of two blocs, the United States of America on one side and China on the other, both of which, he said, above all, seek their own interests. He added, both decide to be much less, if I may say so, complacent with international rules, or in any case, respectful of them. Macron went on to say the world was made up of herbivores and carnivores, adding, if we decide to remain herbivores, carnivores will win, and we will be a market for them. He suggested instead for European nations to choose to be at least omnivores, choosing not to be aggressive, but able to defend themselves. I'm Karen Chamas.
Kamala Harris gave her a big concession speech yesterday afternoon, and she tried to uplift her supporters.
Kamala Harris is urging backers to accept the election's results and also keep up the fight for their beliefs.
The outcome of this election is not what we wanted.
Harris says while she's conceding the race to Donald Trump,
I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
In a speech at Howard University, her alma mater, which was to be the site of her victory speech, Harris says the fight must go on.
In the voting booth, in the courts, and in the public square.
Harris says she called Trump to congratulate him. The White House says President Biden did the same, inviting his predecessor turned successor to meet with him soon. The president will address the election results Thursday. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
And how ironic is this? Kamala Harris will be the one to certify Donald Trump's re-election next January.
Donald Trump's presidential win will be certified in Congress in January by the candidate he beat, Vice President Kamala Harris. Under the Constitution, it's the role of the Senate president, and that's the vice president, to declare the result of a White House election. In theory, that happens January 6th, but it didn't happen 4 years ago. Trump refused to accept defeat, sparking a violent insurrection at the Capitol January 6, 2021, when then-Vice President Mike Pence was to certify Democrat Joe Biden's win. Pence certified the win a day later. In 2000, after a grueling Florida recount battle, Al Gore conceded the presidency. And in January, as vice president, he certified George W. Bush's win. I'm Julie Walker.
All right, let's get to some of your calls. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And I've gotten messages from people that indicate that a lot of Americans are in a very, very dark, depressed place right now because of the outcome of the election. You know, this election was just so emotional for both sides. You know, one side is just celebrating, they're exuberant, they're thrilled, they have confidence in the future of America because Donald Trump won. And then the other side is just really down and depressed and in a dark place because they're concerned about the future of America. So how are you feeling today? Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey, Joe, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot. I'm just have a quote here. I was listening to two political science professors on TV that were saying they cannot believe over 60 million people could cast a vote for Kamala Harris, and they called those people ignorant and stupid. Do you agree with that?
No. What do you call them?
I call them dumb.
Okay, well, Joe, hold on a second. Hold on.
She had nothing for somebody to cast a vote for that woman.
Joe, that's your opinion, and you're entitled.
It's really pitiful when they got that many stupid people.
All right, Joe, did you like it when Joe Biden said that Trump supporters were garbage? Did you like that?
No, I didn't like it.
Why are you calling Kamala Harris supporters stupid? I mean, do you like that? Is that appropriate?
Them stupid because the two political professors called them stupid.
You can find two professors who can say anything you want them to say. Where did you hear that? I'm sure it was conservative media.
No, I didn't tell them to say nothing. I listened to them say it on television.
Okay, I'm sure it was on Fox News. Joe, I'm not going to get into a yelling argument with you today. You know, but I think it's really stupid of you to say you don't want to be called garbage by Biden, but yet you want to call Kamala Harris supporters stupid. And you know, two professors said that. I'm sure you saw that on a conservative network, and it is their goal to present conservative ideology. You live, like many Americans, in an echo chamber. And just because two professors say something doesn't mean it's true. It's just their opinion. And it's amazing that we even let you on the air, Joe, because it's not that you have a different opinion. It's just that you're just an angry guy. You're just a mean, angry guy. And, you know, it's not fair for you to call people who voted for Kamala Harris stupid. Some of those people may have a higher IQ than you. And you should see some of the texts that we get in every time you call. People don't have a lot of respect for you. But we don't expose that. But don't call Kamala Harris's people stupid. You know, maybe some of them voted for Kamala Harris because they couldn't stand your guy. So maybe they were smart enough to think, I don't like Trump. I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris. But, I don't like when mean-spirited people call the show, and then you get upset when I call you on it. But if you don't want to be called garbage, then don't turn around and be hypocritical and call Kamala Harris supporters stupid. Pandora, is this Pandora? Pandora,
yeah,
you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
I'm fine, and I'm on a tirade, a short one.
Okay, go ahead.
I am very, very, very happy today.
Okay.
And it doesn't, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
It doesn't depend on those two, whether they were elected or not. I'm responsible for my own happiness.
I like that.
So I think people need to put on their big girl and boy panties and move on, because you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow. We're not guaranteed anything. Who knows if we're here in 4 years for everything everybody's worried about.
You know, and I thought about that with the recent passing of Eric Paulson from Channel 4. You know, Eric just announced that he was dealing with cancer, and just within no time he was gone. And that's why we should always live every day of our lives. And nobody should have their happiness. I agree with you. Nobody should have their happiness depend upon who is president of the United States.
There's a good little article people can look up. I used to Google it at work. It's under codependency, and it's called Only You Can Make You Happy.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I like that.
It might help a lot of people.
Pandora, I'm glad you called. I think there's something inherently wrong with people who define their happiness by their politics, and a lot of people do. And a lot of people are today. And by the same token, you know, don't be depressed because the person who you wanted to win didn't win. Don't be depressed by that. You know, I mentioned, I'm trying to find it right now, but I mentioned the email that I received. I get a lot of emails, but I read a few of them on the air. And it was from a woman named Lucy, and she is a huge Trump supporter. And she just was talking about how she knows that I'm really bothered and that I'm depressed and I'm down and I'm so upset and I'm trying to camouflage it. I'm trying to hide it, but I'm really depressed because Trump won. No, listen, Lucy, I went to the Pelicans game last night. I had ninth row seats, nine rows up from the floor, babe. Man, I was living life last night. They lost. I'm not happy about that, but man, I was living life. Prime section, nine rows up from the floor at the Pelicans game last night. Man, I'm living life. I got things to do this weekend. I'm not depressed at all. And as a talk show host, I got a hell of a lot to talk about. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day, November 7th, 2015, presidential candidate Donald Trump hosted Saturday Night Live. The musical guest was Sia. You know, remember, she's the singer that always had her hair down in her face, or she had something like mostly covering her face. Trump asked her for a photograph, and she said no. She didn't want her gay and Mexican fans to know that or to think that she supported him. So she refused the picture. But yeah, Donald Trump was actually host of Saturday Night Live when he was a presidential candidate, which really made that whole controversy over Kamala Harris appearing on Saturday Night Live the other night just a moot point. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. Yeah, you know, this is a song from, you know, I think like 1970, the Young Bloods get together. It's a nice thought. Come on, let's, you know, get together. And that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen now. And we're continuing to talk about the aftermath of the election. And, you know, I accept the outcome of election, the election. America has spoken, and Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. We will continue to follow his presidency. We'll talk about some of the things that are going to happen. For those of you who thought that Donald Trump was totally distanced from Project 2025, and that's one of the reasons that you thought it was safe to vote for Trump, you're going to see some things happen with Project 2025 right after he is inaugurated. The whole Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 was done by Trump allies, you know, people who know Trump, and they were planning for the day, the moment that he becomes president again. Well, that moment's here. So we're going to see the implementation of Project 2025. How will it affect you and your family? This is one of the many, many, many things that we'll be talking about over the next 4 years. Plus, we'll talk about other things as well, of course. Delaware State Senator Sarah McBride won the state's only House seat on Tuesday. She's projected to be the winner from the last projection that I saw from NBC News. Sarah McBride defeated the Republican 57.8% to, I don't know, whatever the other was, but she won 57.8% of the vote. She is the first transgender person to be elected to Congress. And she beat the Republican. Let's get to some of your text messages, and then we're going to get to some of your calls.
As you predicted, a lot of people reacted to Joe and Metairie's call with some pretty unkind words. I won't repeat them here, but including coming from his fellow Trump supporters and conservatives. So, you know, just let it be said.
If you're listening, Joe, I mean, you know, don't think you mouth off on this show and everybody agrees with you. I mean, people see you the same way I see you. They may have voted for Trump, but, you know, you're an extremist, and you don't speak for all Trump supporters, and not everybody has respect for you, has any respect for you, and we see it in the text messages.
Here's one, and then we'll move on. It says, I voted for Trump, and I still find it hilarious that these people, meaning Joe, are still pissed off with Kamala supporters even after the election is over. Moving on. Here's one that says, hey, Scoot, you use the word complex, which is a great word for a lot of these issues. Now, let me guess, everybody's going to be an expert on tariffs. If they were so bad under Trump, why did the Biden administration keep the same tariffs? Obviously, everything can't have tariffs, but in some instances, this will work. It's just got to be a certain amount on certain items because China also subsidizes a lot of things that they make, so it's a fine line. It's like taxes. What is the perfect amount that we should be at to get the most revenue but not lose businesses? Tariffs can help, but they can also hurt us.
Yeah, and when Trump talks about 100% tariffs, that makes a lot of people nervous. So again, you know, I'll give Trump the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what happens. And if what he does is extreme, We'll talk about that. If what he does is not extreme, we'll talk about that as well.
Here's a text that says, how does Scoot know that Project 2025 will be used after inauguration? Who told you? You spread rumors like everyone.
All right. If I'm wrong, I will be here and admit that I'm wrong. But I think it's going to happen. This 900-plus page project was not put together for nothing. Do you think that they did all of this? Do you think the Heritage Foundation put that whole thing together for nothing, just for fun, because they were all sitting around and they had nothing to do? They put it together to implement it when Trump becomes president. Trump's going to become president. In my opinion, I believe it's going to be implemented. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it, but let's wait and see.
I mean, it's not just the Heritage Foundation either. It's a whole coalition. It's a whole sprawling ecosystem. Almost every conservative think tank in the country, whether it's religious or economic or immigration or whatever, they've really got the entire conservative intelligentsia from Washington, D.C. It's all whittled down into this one 900-page document that was designed specifically for use on day one.
Yeah. So why did they do it? I mean, you know, I'm not stupid. They did it for a reason. They did it if Trump wins, and Trump won. So I believe it's going to be implemented. And again, I will be here. And if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to admit it.
I think that's exactly right. If you and I turn out to be wrong about that, we'll eat crow. But I don't, it's not absurd or dishonest or disingenuous for us to expect that right now of the incoming administration, that they will at least in parts and pieces try to implement this. And they'll have to be discreet about it because they know how unpopular it is.
Well, for the record, I'm not eating crow.
Gross. Here's a text that says, Trump supporters are delusional. This country has a race and a sex problem, and that's why Trump is back in. End of story. Let's stop fooling ourselves. I'll be okay anyways, because for 37 years of my life, I had to get up and go work for what I wanted, and that's not going to change no matter what, no matter who's the president.
And that's right. Our lives are not going to change that much, even those of you who are in a dark hole right now. I mean, there might be some things that Trump does. And again, we don't know. But if he does certain things that he said he was going to do on the campaign trail, if he does those things, then it's going to rock America. And a lot of Americans are going to lose some rights. And so we'll talk about that because we talk a lot about rights on this show. And that has gone on from the beginning of this show to now.
Here's a text that says, let's not fool ourselves. The election was about the economy or the policy. This election was about white people being afraid of losing their power in a changing world. Racist fears stoked by the right. Also, old and young men not believing that a woman of color, or any woman for that matter, was smart or strong enough to lead the country. And just for disclosure, I'm an old white guy.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in that. I think it's sad, but I think it's true. And in some ways, the American psyche seems to be back where it was in 1964 when the Southern strategy was implemented to make white voters fear African-Americans and what they were going to do to their wives and their daughters and what they were going to do with their lives in terms of stealing property and stealing everything from them and taking their jobs. And, yeah, I think this is a big statement about racism and sexism in America.
Yeah, there was a person that called yesterday that says, that wasn't it. That's not why. And it's like, okay, maybe that wasn't it for you, but you don't get to say on behalf of the entire MAGA movement that there was no racism or sexism, and they can't miss me with that stuff. I've seen it. We've all heard it. You know, the say no to the ho T-shirts, the whole horizontal Harris thing, people saying she's not really black because she's biracial, people saying that she's a DEI hire. Those are racist, sexist attacks, and they came not just from him supporters, but they came from the top of the ticket. So do not sit here and tell me that we are just inventing the fact that racism and sexism played a role in this campaign. If you don't see that or you're embarrassed by that, good on you, but you're not going to gaslight us into thinking otherwise.
Yeah, and we'd love not to talk about that, but we have to talk about the truth, so we do.
Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, I'm feeling better because I turned off all cable news. I'm worried about the country being led by a lying con man convict with vengeance on his mind, a love for dictators, and wrapping himself around with loyalists. I can't wait for a closed border, low inflation, and no wars, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what people believe is going to happen. That's what they told us. That's why you have to vote for Trump, because all these things are going to happen. But let's see if they actually happen, or let's see if these were just campaign promises. I mean, it's up to Trump to follow through on these things, and we'll see if he does. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I'll leave you with this one. Text says, I'm a pretty conservative person. I can't say that I've ever been emotionally affected by any election. In the reality of life, the president of the United States doesn't really impact our lives on a daily basis.
You know, I talked about this so often leading up to the election, and we can continue to talk about it now. Donald Trump won. My life has not changed. And even if Donald Trump does some of the things that he says he's going to do that I might disagree with, my life's not going to change that much. But as personalized as politics has become, some people just think that whoever is president has an absolute direct impact on their lives, for good or for bad. And it's simply not true. And you're going to see this when Trump is inaugurated next month. Now, since he won, there's not going to be any January the 6th. And just briefly, let me bring up this point of hypocrisy. For all those who have said over the years, yeah, well, look at those people. Look at those liberals who rioted in, you know, in 2020. Look at those people. You know, we don't do that. Well, should the Democrats say to you, so we lost the election. There's not going to be a January 6th because we don't do that. Do you see the hypocrisy? If you have a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We're coming right back with more of your comments. I'm Scoot on the air. It is it's Thursday. Tomorrow we'll talk more about this, but it's LSU, Alabama at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge. It's the Saints and the Falcons, and a lot of Falcon fans are going to be in town. I guarantee you a lot of Saints fans sold their tickets, and a lot of Falcons fans are going to be in town. They're in town anyway, but they're going to be in massive numbers, I think, this weekend, because the Falcons are doing well. They're kicking ass, and they're number one in the division. I don't like that, but I think that's going to bring a lot of Falcons fans here. I'll be talking about that more on the show tomorrow afternoon. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Thursday afternoon, heading toward the weekend. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Bogalusa. Abdul, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going today, bud?
Good, Abdul. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm going to start out with saying that this is a strictly a political conversation, but I do want to start with some of the finances first. I figure you owe me about $59, $60 for all the coffee and soda that I've spit up on my dashboard of my truck, everything you call.
Well, hey, listen, okay. That's a compliment, okay? I owe you that.
You don't. You are no more an independent. Just registering as an independent does not make you an independent. You're so left, you should be sitting on between Joy and Whoopi on The View. You make Rachel Maddow look like Laura Ingraham and Michael Moore look like Rush Limbaugh.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
No, it's not. I've listened to you for quite a while now. And I mean, you know, I listen to WWL. I've sat in your chair at one point, to be honest, which I've been on the radio over there before. So I've listened to you for a while, Scoot, and just today, some of the things, if you say 99 bad things about about Trump, and then you say one good thing, or you agree with him about one thing, then you call yourself an independent. It doesn't work that way, Scoot. I mean, the tariffs, I mean, the stuff about the Project 25, you're gonna associate Trump with Project 25, 2025. Well, why can't we associate Kamala with defunding the police? You've said that 1,000 times. Oh,
well, Kamala didn't defund the police. So, Abdul, why don't you get to your point?
Well, what's my point is just that.
I mean, your point was to call up and tell me that you think I'm liberal? Is that your point of calling?
I'm out of the liberal closet. I mean, just
Abdul, listen. Okay, so look, I'm not going to get deeply into this, but I'm going to simply say this for everybody listening, for everybody who thinks that I'm extremely liberal. I am for welfare reform. I am for smaller government. I am for lower taxes. I am for personal accountability. I am for allowing people to, as individuals, make decisions. That is conservative ideology. in a lot of ways, I'm very conservative. I am against people who are born as men competing in sports with women. I am for a lot of things that are intrinsically conservative. I am against some things that are intrinsically liberal. And I really don't feel the need to have to explain this every day. If you want to have an opinion of me, that's fine. But it's a waste of time to call the show and just spout off about how liberal I am. Because, I mean, if I really want to be liberal, I can be. I mean, there's nothing illegal about it, but I'm just being honest. I am a radical moderate, registered independent, and I'm conservative in many ways.
Every time somebody accuses you, Scoot, of being an extreme liberal or a radical liberal or to the left of Whoopi Goldberg, what they're actually saying is that you are effective at telling the truth about Republicans and they don't like it. That's all that means. So this, you're an extremist, you're a radical. That's just shorthand for you're an effective communicator in a way that I cannot compete with. So the best option that I have is to falsely accuse you of being ideologically opposed to me, when really all you are doing is effective at telling the truth about me.
It's a great observation. And I mentioned earlier that Ian pointed out there was an article written about me and this show that went out on this national news service to, you know, radio stations and people who accept this news service around the country, national. We're going to post that on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And it's about me, and it's about the difficulty of a talk show host being honest and telling the truth rather than spewing out rhetorical stuff. I haven't said anything negative about Donald Trump. And when it comes to Project 2025, I've already said this. This was put together for the moment Donald Trump becomes president. He's going to become president. So why would they put this together if they're not going to implement it? I think I'm right. But if I'm wrong and we see no signs of Project 2025 in the next year, then I'll admit I was wrong. But I think I'm right, and I think we're going to see signs of this. And as Ian pointed out, they're going to do it subtly because it is so controversial. It is so revolutionary in terms of how it is going to change the government we have toward a biased government. I mean, even with the Justice Department and the FBI, a lot of people don't know what's coming. This is just my honest opinion of this. But for people to think that Donald Trump and that his allies have nothing to do with this, his allies wrote this. Why did they do it if they're not going to implement it? They didn't do it because, again, they had nothing to do. They were just sitting around. So I think there are things to be concerned about when it comes to Project 2025, not the least of which is the freedom that Americans should have to view pornography. That's not something I'm into, but a lot of people are into it. A lot of conservative Republicans are into pornography, and they should have that right. But under Project 2025, you could lose that right. I don't think you should lose that right as an American. So there are going to be things to watch, and I'm giving Trump the benefit of the doubt, and I accept the outcome of the election, and America has spoken. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back with more of your comments, and this is going to go into the next hour as well. On the Scoot on the Iraq Culture Calendar, this day in 1981, it was a huge hit for Hall & Oates. This was the number one song in the country, and the thing that made this song was the clapping. You know when they do? Yeah. That's what made the song. That's what made the whole thing. If it hadn't been for the clapping, I don't know that this would have been a hit. But it was huge. And by the way, Private Eyes Watching You, you know, that's going to be kind of Project 2025 as well. So, you know, dismiss it all you want. I'm saying I think it's going to go into effect. And if I'm wrong, I'll tell you. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. Here comes. There you go. There's a clap. On the Scoot of the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1987, this was the number one song in America. 16-year-old Tiffany had the number one hit with I Think We're Alone Now. It was a cover of a 1967 song that I remember growing up from Tommy and the Shondells, I Think We're Alone Now. A lot of Tiffany's fans thought she wrote that song. They also think that she wrote, at the time they thought that she wrote I Saw Her Standing There by the Beatles. It was a Beatles song, but she did a cover of it, and her young fans thought, oh, well, when you were writing that song, I saw her standing there. I saw him standing there. So she had to correct them. Elon Musk is going to play a very integral part in the Trump administration. Good or bad, We'll talk about that. And also, we'll talk about those who are celebrating, but those who have deep concerns, those who right now are living in a dark place because of the outcome of election. All that coming up in the next hour. If you want to join us, the Opendoor Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. You know, with every presidential election, one side is happy and the other side is disappointed. But following the intense campaign between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, feelings on both sides are elevated in different directions. We shouldn't be surprised considering how personal everyone took this campaign. Even the candidates got personal with their attacks, and the ramped up rhetoric left one side exuberant and the other side depressed. The victors, the Trump supporters, are exuberant because what they believe will be America becoming great again is going to happen. And they live with now this promise that things are going to be better and that our biggest problems will be solved. The border, inflation, all of those things will be taken care of quite quickly. The celebrating of Trump's victory is also a relief that America will be saved from their perception that Democrats and Kamala Harris would have turned America into a socialist nation. Those who are depressed and in a dark place, the Harris supporters, they find themselves not really happy. And they're fearing that a new Trump administration is going to manifest a mission of revenge against political opponents, that it will rob women of a right to abortion, and they will witness an unthinkable attack on basic American freedom. To the side that is exuberant right now following Trump's victory, be wary of the promises that Trump will not be able to keep. Be concerned about some of the promises he will keep. I believe that most Trump supporters believe in American freedom and believe in the Democratic Republic form of government that we have. On the campaign trail, Donald Trump said some things that would change the federal government in ways that many seem appealing now that a Republican will be in the White House, but it's not going to be so appealing if a Democrat is in the White House. The many Trump supporters who promoted the idea that Donald Trump was not involved in the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 will see aspects of that radical right-wing plan begin to be implemented shortly after Trump takes office. Project 2025 is so radical that it will change American government for years to come and will infringe on the individual rights of many Americans in many areas. The project reflects the mentality of dictating how Americans should lead their lives from the right. Many think that Donald Trump is not associated with it. We'll see. I don't know why they did it. Why did the Heritage Foundation spend all this time and all this money to put together this Project 2025? It is there for the moment Donald Trump becomes president. This is that moment. So why would they not implement it? If they don't implement it, if we see no signs of it, I will talk about that as well. And I'll admit that I was wrong. But I think there's every reason to believe that Project 2025 is going to become reality. And it's going to be a harsh reality for a lot of people who feel like they're gaining freedom. They're no longer going to have that freedom if certain aspects of Project 2025 are implemented. Now, Congress may have to get involved in some of this, but, you know, Republicans control a lot of Congress. So the question is, will those who said Trump had nothing to do with Project 2025 recognize and admit it when it starts to be implemented? Trump supporters have every right to celebrate this moment in history. And the Americans who feared another Trump administration have every right to be concerned. It is the responsibility of this talk show on WWL AMFM and WWL.com and the free Odyssey app from 1 to 4 to comment on his administration. We would have commented on the Harris administration as well. The original role of the media was to hold politicians accountable, and we will do that every afternoon from 1 to 4 here on WWL. And I remember that when I think when Obama was president, Fox News's ratings were higher than they were when Donald Trump was president, because there was the opposition. When Trump was president, people were not quite as interested in Fox News as when Obama was president, because they would be commenting on Obama. They would be holding Obama accountable. It will be interesting to see how our show goes. But I'm, you know, really, really happy with where we are and what we do and how we handle the campaign and how we're handling the victory of Donald Trump. America has spoken, and I accept that. But I know that there were a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump who didn't want to. Kamala Harris was not the answer. She did not run a campaign that was efficient enough to even come close to winning. And there is also innate racism and sexism in America. I don't think that's the only reason she lost, but I think those are factors. The idea of a woman of color being president of the United States is unsettling to too many Americans who will never admit it publicly. But when they get in the voting booth, they voted how they feel. So I think that is a concern for America. As much progress as we've made, we haven't made that much progress in some areas. But there are going to be things to be concerned with, and we will talk about that. The tariffs that Donald Trump is talking about, will they be good or bad for America? We'll talk about that. Donald Trump said he's going to end the war in Ukraine in one day. Could the Trump people be working right now with Vladimir Putin to where the war does indeed end one day after he takes office? I don't think that is out of the realm of possibility. I mean, it could happen. And if the war, if Trump can get Vladimir Putin to stop attacking Ukraine, that's a good thing. I mean, I would applaud Donald Trump if he can do that. So I will continue to be a radical moderate. I will continue to be a registered independent. I am biased in many ways, but I will continue to be as fair as I can and allow those who disagree with me, those who disagree with some of the things that I say, I will allow them to be on our show. And in that sense, this show will always be fair. But, you know, for those who said, well, you know, well, what are you going to talk about after Trump wins? We have plenty to talk about now that Trump is going to be president. And I mean plenty. In fact, some days we're not even going to want to talk about Trump because we're going to want to talk about other things. I'm not going to talk about Trump every day. It was something that we had to do because this is talk radio during the campaign. But I don't relish in talking about Donald Trump, good or bad, every day. And by the way, you know, for those who think I'm down and depressed, I'm not. As I said earlier, I was on the ninth row, nine rows up from the floor last night at the Pelicans game. My life is full. I've got a lot going on. I am living life. I have never been happier. So don't think for one minute that Donald Trump's victory affects me personally. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Biloxi. Joe, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, keep up the outstanding work you're doing, man.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't always agree with you, but that's what people do, right? But I called for one comment and two questions for you. My comment is I want to send my deepest sympathy to you and the WWL family in the passing of Eric Paulson. He was one of my favorites.
Yeah, he was such a good person, such a, you know, an easy person to be around. You know, I was in a lot of different situations with Eric. We were not friends. I don't want to lie about that. I'm not going to pretend that we were friends, but we were certainly friendly to each other, had respect for each other. You know, it was a tremendous loss, more to TV than to radio. But we were, you know, we were all familiar with and we all knew Eric Paulson. And it's just a reminder that, well, you just don't know what's going to hit you in life, and you just have to enjoy living every day. And if you're in a dark place because of the outcome of the election, man, you don't want to be in a dark place for long, because you just have to live life.
Yeah. My question, the reason why I called about an hour ago, was I didn't know what you meant by people still living, you know, still in the dark. But you answered that question when you came back from break. And I think we're losing I don't know the word for it, but we're losing the aspect of what's happening here. I didn't know whether you meant because of the election or because people are still in the dark. Now, and the reason why I say that is because when Biden was elected, taxes, you know, our interest rates went up, food prices went up, gas prices went up. And we're losing the fact that, and you say you're comfortable in your life, I'm comfortable in my life, but I think the people voted, and those people that voted, they're not comfortable in their life. They've got to work 3 or 4 jobs, you know, in order to support their family. And flood rates has gone up tremendously, so that hurts their budget. Senior citizens are on a Social Security limit. And with the interest rates going up and with the food prices going up, that's their sole income. So I think we're, you know, many, many Americans are good, you know, in their daily life. But those people that are single, that have a bunch of kids, and those that are on Social Security, the Biden administration and the Kamala Harris administration didn't do anything the 4 years that they were in office, in my opinion. So I'd like to hear you comment on that, and I have one other question.
Okay. Well, Joe, look, I don't know anybody working 3 and 4 jobs. I mean, I've heard of people working 2 and 3 jobs. And when I said people, I never said people are in the dark. I just want to make sure that the phrasing is right. I said a lot of people are in a dark place. They're depressed. Okay. They're really
yeah.
down. I mean, they're not in the dark like they don't know what's going on. They're in a dark place. You know, I think people did vote the economy. And I have said that while, you know, gas prices and grocery prices do affect me, they don't stop me from the basic things that I want and need. I can't buy everything I want, but those things didn't affect me the way they affect a lot of people. But I'm always empathetic of those people who are not in my situation, that they're in a different situation. And I know that a lot of people felt really hurt. You know, I don't know that a president has that much to do with inflation, because inflation has gone up many years during a reelection year of presidents. And if they controlled it, why wouldn't every president have inflation down during a reelection year? But if you go back through history, inflation was quite often up during a reelection year, indicating that they really don't control the economy. But people still voted for Trump because he was a hope, and he successfully presented himself as the hope that he would control inflation. And look, if he can control inflation, if he can do something about it, and he does something about it, man, I'm all for that. I'll applaud him for it. And the Harris administration, I mean, the Harris campaign, was too linked to the Biden administration, and they were just basically inept in terms of campaigning and coming up with a message. And she was just too weak on the campaign trail. I say that, but I don't want to take anything away from Donald Trump and the Republicans being successful with winning their campaign.
My second question is, follow it up with a comment that let me say my question. My question is, what do we need to do instead of worrying about Trump as president? What we got to do is we have to make sure that Congress and the House work together. Because what happened when Trump got elected in 2016? The Democrats went all off on him. They didn't do anything in the House as far as policies or laws. They didn't. All they were worried about in the House and the Senate was impeaching Trump and trying to convict him because he got elected. We don't need that.
Well, look, Joe, that's not all they worried about. There was a lot of other stuff going on, too. And that's what the Republicans did when Obama was in office to some degree. I mean, it might have been a little more exaggerated with Trump, but Trump gave them ammunition. His behavior gave them something to cling to. So, you know, let's see what happens. What do we need to do? We need to accept the outcome of the election, and we need to move on. And we need to let Donald Trump be who Donald Trump is. And if it's good, we'll say it's good. If it's bad, we'll say it's bad, and we'll comment on that. And let's see where this country goes from here. Joe, I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're listening to our show, even though we don't always agree. If you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get right back with more of your calls. We'll also get to a few of your text messages. The Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So the blog that I wrote is posted on our website, WWL.com. You can check it out there. And also, it's on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. You can comment on it there, and I will share some of your comments coming up. On the SOTA rock culture calendar, on this day in 1979, the movie The Rose, starring Bette Midler, opened up at movie theaters nationwide. It was a movie about the life of Janis Joplin, but the filmmakers could not get the rights to use Janis Joplin's name or her image. So Bette Midler, who got an Oscar nomination for her best actress role in the movie, I remember this movie. It was an excellent movie about music and about the life of Janis Joplin. It really paralleled who Janis Joplin was, rising up to fame and some of the things that she dealt with. So if you've never checked it out and you're interested in Janis Joplin, check out the movie The Rose. It opened up nationwide on this day in 79. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air rock culture calendar, Rolling Stone magazine reported that Ted Nugent had won the National Squirrel Shooting Archery Contest by picking off a squirrel at 150 yards. In other words, it was 150 yards away, and he hit it, he killed it. Ted Nugent is quite a sportsman when it comes to killing animals. Ted Nugent also killed 27 more squirrels when the handgun event came up 3 days later. Something to tell your kids about. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. I want to just once again say that we just had a great time yesterday afternoon. I want to thank Bonvenue Bank for having us out for the grand opening ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new location at 2000 Belchase Highway in Gretna. Bonvenue Bank used to be Citizens National Bank. There was a location in Metairie, the North Shore, and in Baton Rouge. They're also in the northern part of the state. But some of you know them from this area as well. It's now Bonvenue Bank, and I'll tell you, they've got a really great innovative idea for banking and service, and they're just really great people. And, you know, if you feel like you've been with the same old stodgy bank that's been in business for a really, really long time, sometimes banks get so set in their ways they just don't see any innovation. Bonvenue Bank is an innovative new bank that I want to suggest that, you know, you might want to think about moving your checking account and savings account to Bonvenue Bank. And if you're a small business and you need a business loan or you need a new home for your business account, maybe you're not getting the attention you think you deserve, then go to Bonvenue Bank. They would love to have you. All right, let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Mid-City. Mike, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
Good, Mike.
I'm elated, which I know you know that.
If you've called the show before as a Trump supporter, I can't possibly remember everybody's name and voice. So, you know, I don't always know. So if you're a Trump supporter, then obviously, yeah, you're related today.
Mm-hmm. But it's Mike in Mid-City. Yeah, the one y'all call Brian Walsh Mike, that Mike.
He started calling himself
Brian Walsh Mike.
Yeah, I think you called yourself Brian Walsh Mike.
Well, y'all said I was brainwashed, so I'll call him.
Okay, well, whatever. But, so you're happy, okay?
I guess I would ask you,
and this is something we've been talking about. What would you tell the people who are not happy, who feel like they're in a dark place right now? What would you tell them?
Well, you know, you know, we had a lot on the line. Us Trump supporters, we had a lot on the line. You know, we feel that he was the Justice Department really. We think they crossed the line with their little lawful acts. You know, putting mm-hmm. a conviction tag on them. You know, we think it was totally political. We know that the Biden administration was behind it. You know, and this was a vindication. You know, that we didn't believe it. This was a verdict. The election was a verdict. Okay, all of those supporters for Kamala, you know, they lost the verdict. Okay, everybody who supported Trump, who knew what they was doing was unfair, and how they used the Justice Department to do it, you know. We won. Okay, so, you know, they're going to believe what they want to believe. Okay,
yeah,
and we're going to believe what we want to believe.
Yeah, exactly.
But one thing's for certain, you know what I'm happy about, Scoot?
What?
I'm happy that $8 a gallon orange juice, them prices going to come down. Okay,
man, I hope you're right. God, I hope you're right.
Because
I mean, they're already coming down. I mean, things are already going down. Let's see if they continue, and let's see if Trump can increase the reduction in prices.
He will. He will because he's going to flood the oil markets, and it's got to come down. I mean, if you flood the markets, things not going to go up, Scoot. It's common sense. And that economist, whoever he was, who come up there, who said that he don't see the prices coming down, he need to go find him another job because he don't have common sense. Okay, when you flood the market and there's more than you need, prices can't help but to go down. That is just common sense. And for anybody who wants.
I don't know how the executive branch, the head of the executive branch, floods the market with products. Maybe you know something I don't know.
With Earl. We're going to flood it with Earl.
With Earl?
Who's
Earl?
That's right.
Oil.
The oil that we have in our country.
The oil.
Right. The Earl, okay. The Earl that we have in our country, Scoot, is going to bail us out. He knows it. He's a businessman.
Right. Okay,
he's a businessman, Scoot.
I know, he is. He went bankrupt with a couple of casinos, man. He's the best. He went broke with he got sued over a debunked bogus university that was just stealing people's money. Yeah, I mean, everything is really great about Trump. He was the greatest businessman ever. But Mike, look, let me correct you on a couple of things. You don't know that the Biden administration was behind the Justice Department going after Donald Trump. You don't know that. You have been told that. You believe that. But you don't have the facts that you can send me that you know that. You can't, you know, draw the lines together, link the lines together and show me that. And also, the Justice Department did not put the conviction tag on him. That was a jury of his peers. And if the Biden administration was behind it, and if the Justice Department made it up, are you telling me the Justice Department tampered with the jury and made them come up with that conviction? Again, believe what you want to believe. Let's go to Irvin in Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. I want to say something first before I go to the meat of my call. I did not withhold my vote from Ms. Harris because she was a woman of color. I would vote for Condoleezza Rice, a former black Secretary of State, over Trump in a New York second. I would vote for Colin Powell, a black former Secretary of Defense, and the current black Secretary of Defense, whose name escapes me, over Trump in a second. Why? Because all three of those folks can communicate their position on things, who they are. Even the liberal networks right now who are hashing over why she lost are faulting her inability to communicate clearly to the American people who she was, what she was about, and the fact that she didn't distance herself from the Trump administration enough. Now I'm going to move on to another thing.
Okay. Could you change the sound to White Rabbit?
Harris and Biden have both apologized and to the public and have both congratulated Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, even though they've been in office for 3+ years, it's not too late for you to man up and congratulate them for their 4 years. One of the hardest things as a high school coach with teenager players after a hard loss was to go across the floor of the field, look them in the eyes, shake their hands, and tell them congratulations. It makes a man out of you, or a woman.
But it also shows that you're a man.
No doubt. Yes.
It's a sign of integrity.
You know, I just want people to know that those of us that voted for Trump are not basking in glory, not all of us. The stronger of the two weak candidates. Okay. I want to say this to the young people. This is a typical grass is greener on the other side election. After 8 years of Clinton, people felt, you know, that they were going to go to the other side, even though the vice president where Clinton ran, he lost. This happens all the time. After 8 years of Bush, people thought Obama was grass on the greener side.
Yep.
After Obama, people thought Trump was grass on the greener side. Let me say this to young people and anybody right now.
We've got to get to a break here, so be brief.
Okay. In 2 years, we have midterm elections. If he doesn't get it straight during his honeymoon period, they're going to pull the Senate and House from under his feet. Two more years from now, we'll have an election, and we'll not only pull him out, but we'll pull the Republicans out for a while. I'll give it to you.
You know, that's the way it happens. Irvin, I got to get you a break here. That generally does happen. You know, people voted for change. And that's quite often what happens in elections. More on that when we come back. You know, this was a significant day in the history of FM radio in terms of FM rock. You know, some of you don't even know this, but a long time ago, FM was used for, like, easy-listening elevator-type music. On this day in 1967, radio station KSHE, 94.7 FM in St. Louis, flipped their format from easy-listening to rock. And this was the first song they played. It was the beginning of the sounds of a counterculture being reflected in the programming on FM radio. And in the very early years, FM was the counterculture medium for music that you didn't hear on the pop top 40 AM stations. So this was a significant day in the evolution of FM radio. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Hey, I lost Spotify. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, today we wish a very happy birthday to Johnny Rivers. Johnny Rivers, 82 years old today. He was born in New York City, but he grew up in Baton Rouge. And Louisiana music was a big influence on him. This was one of his big hits. I was behind him in line at the airline ticket counter in L.A., and he's a little guy. I mean, he was smaller than me. I mean, you see pictures of me with people. Usually everybody's taller than me. Johnny Rivers was shorter than I am. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but yeah, he was just in line, standing there in L.A., buying a ticket. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Danny in Broussard. Hey, Danny, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Scoot?
Good.
What religion are you, Scoot?
Catholic. I was born Episcopal, but then I became Catholic.
You think all the Catholic priests are pedophiles?
No.
Well,
I mean, obviously some.
I don't know. Yeah, right. There's a small percentage of that. Because I'm Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way you come across about it sounds like you come across half the country is racist. And I got a problem with that. I mean, I'm a white man, 71 years old. I voted for Barack Obama twice. I regret that I did after I've seen what went on. But the other thing is, you know, how the border worked out wide open. Trump had it under control.
Yeah, we've talked about that extensively. You know, I can't,
yeah.
I can't determine and control how you perceive our show, but in no way do I believe that all of America is racist. And I talk about enough things to where most people know that that's not the case.
In other words, the people that was in power, they don't give two cents of care about the Constitution. They don't give two cents of care worth about.
What did they do? Tell me what they did to violate the Constitution. Give me something specific.
The democracy. The only time they're concerned about democracy is if they think they're going to lose.
But how did they defy the Constitution?
Well,
I mean, you can't just say that. I mean, you've got to have examples.
Okay. For the 2020 election, they used COVID to circumvent the Constitution to win the election. Okay?
Explain that to me. I don't get it.
And I know you don't get it because a caller a while back nailed you you ought to just come out of the closet and say you live.
Oh, listen. Danny, we're not. I'm done with this conversation. You know, I mean, you don't really have a point to your call. And if it makes you feel good in the aftermath of the election to call up and try to rag on me, that's on you. It's not on me. But, I don't have to deal with this. You know, I am, you know, there are so many. If you want to believe I'm a liberal, you can believe that. But I'm not going to confess to something that I'm not. I'm not gay. I can't confess to being gay because I'm not gay. I'm not a liberal because I can't confess to being a liberal. I have certain aspects of my ideology that are liberal. I have certain aspects of my ideology that are conservative. A lot of Americans are like me. A lot of people relate to that. A lot of people are not all right or all left. They're thinking Americans, and they're just not all one way. And so I'm open enough to admit it. And this idea that everybody has to be specifically defined is one of the problems we have in America. I don't have to be specifically defined to you. I can be whoever I want to be. And you have a choice. You either listen to this show or you don't. And you're listening. And a hell of a lot of people are tuned in. And a lot of people, I think, are really commenting on the power that I have and the influence that I have. And all we do is just talk about the issues and talk about the truth. This election was about change. A lot of people were not happy, and they think that Donald Trump is going to make them happier. I don't think anybody should look to a president to make them happy or to solve their problems. We'll see how many problems Donald Trump solves. If he solves the problem of inflation and the border, man, that's great. I don't want a border problem. There's a crisis at the border. I don't want that. I want that problem solved. I don't like inflation. Inflation's coming down, but I want it down even lower. I mean, I want to pay practically nothing for groceries and practically nothing for gas. Is that going to happen? I don't know. We have to wait and see. I'm Scoot, and we will be back with more. This was the day in 2011 that Dr. Conrad Murray, Michael Jackson's doctor, was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the death of Michael Jackson. He was accused of giving Michael Jackson access to the sedative propofol, which Michael Jackson apparently administered to himself, and he gave himself too much, and he's still asleep. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next. The guys are going to be at the Treasure Chest Casino in Kenner. That is right at the end of Williams Boulevard. I haven't been out there to see the new casino yet, but I can't wait to get out there because it looks really awesome. I'm Scoot on the air. Look, I had a great show today. I thank all of you, and I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, our assistant program director and brand manager and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. I didn't get to any of your comments from the SOTA Facebook page. My latest blog, you know, Trump wins, there's celebration, and there's concerns. You can read that there and comment on it, and I'll comment on some of your comments a little bit later this afternoon. Also, we've got a blog coming up on Scoot on the Air Facebook and also the WWL Facebook page. All right, have a great afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.